The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet.
This is an exclusive presentation of Podcast One Sports.
How's the house?
It's great.
You settling in?
I would take the screen off, but you don't want to see all the pillows stacked behind me. I'm in the office.
Okay.
In the office, we have like a bunch of pillows. We try to figure out where we want them to go, like decorative pillows from my old house. And so I was like, okay, we're going to do these. You throw them away or put them in a box somewhere and wait.
Yeah. You're working out of a pillow fort. That's where you are. When you were a kid, you used to stack all the pillows and blanket them up and shit. Yeah.
Yeah. So we used to do the blankets and then hide under there. And,
oh, yeah.
And then next time you see it come crashing up because your brother done went and did the...
kicked out the support beam and the whole thing fell down. You son of a bitch. Yeah. Yep.
What up? This is Robert Orton.
Or three-pointer. Buries it.
You might know me as Big Shot Bob.
To Orton for three. Oh, unbelievable. This guy is off the charts.
What's going on, Big Shot Bob?
Robert Orton from downtown.
Now that's making a statement.
It is your weekly dose of adult male interaction. It is the Big Shot Bob pod. That is a 7-time NBA champion, Robert Horry,
who in the dark.
Admitted to us before we started, this is his only grown-up interaction for the week.
Well, he said male interaction.
This is true. This is
well, because my wife and her sister, her best friend, you know, they come over, so it's, you know.
Oh, so you, now yeah, who, now who all lives with you besides your wife? Just Christian?
Just Christian. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So
just the three of us.
Just the three of us.
Just the three of us.
Okay. And does Christian have like people over a lot or?
No.
Not so much.
Man, his day is so full right now because he got school in the morning. And then by the time he gets out of basketball practice and get home, it's like 7:30, maybe 6:30.
Damn.
It's just hard, man. And then you got to get back up the next day and be at the bus by 7 o'clock, bus stop by 7 o'clock. And
yep.
These kids nowadays got it hard, man.
Does he have practice every day?
Yeah.
Oh,
every
damn.
Day. Except for Saturday and Sunday.
All right, so he gets a weekend at least.
Well, we training on the weekend, though.
Yeah, it ain't no time off. No days off, really.
Yeah. All right. Well, I would like to welcome you all to show number 52, which marks the end of the first year of this show. 52 shows, 52 weeks. That's a year of this podcast in the books. So
it's been a year?
Yeah, we've been doing this a year. We've been screwing around and goofing off and providing you with your only male interaction for a year.
COVID has sped everything up.
I mean, I was talking about this the other day with my wife. I'm like, and it was talking about, Biden's like second year. I'm like, has it been 2 years?
Yeah. Yeah, he's been
2 years.
Yeah, he's been asleep at the wheel for almost 2 years.
And I'm like, and my thing is like, has he done anything in the 2 years he's been in there?
Look, I'm not getting political here, but the answer is no. The answer is firmly no.
I'm like, has anything passed?
You he's taking some quality naps in the Lincoln bedroom. I promise you. I promise you.
Oh, and I'm Lord. Like, Vice President Harris, I ain't seen your cute ass on the TV yet. Like,
what happened to her?
Like, she just disappeared. Like, yeah. I see you all the time in Cali. Now I ever see you.
Well, both of them were just in Atlanta, I think, last week.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, it was about
But
a
it was
ago.
Like, it was no made big deal about it. They just let everybody know for traffic purposes. But, I mean.
Yeah, but it's like, it's so different. And again, we're not doing politics on the show, but it's so different than like when Trump would come to town. Because when Trump would come to town, people would like line the streets close things off and take over the downtown connector. And it's like Biden came to town, like everybody's like, nah, we're good.
It was like old Freaknik, opposite though.
Yeah, exactly.
Opposite of Freaknik.
Opposite, very much opposite.
Well, regardless of who's in office and who comes to the city, I just try to make sure that I'm not on the street or I don't have to be on the interstate. Because look, I stay far away because all of Atlanta shuts down.
Oh my God. Yeah. And there is nothing worse than, we're going to close 75 over here for 2 hours while the president's here.
No.
Well, that'll work out well for everybody. That's good. So listen, in our first year of the show, what have you liked? I guess we'll do a quick report card here. What do you want to do more of? Like what do you envision this show doing in its second?
You know, I really enjoy when people send in questions, and of course I love you know, it's white folk shit.
Yeah. Black folk shit. Black crime, white crime. That's fun. That's a fun game.
Yeah, you know, and I just love talking sports with you guys. You know, that's always the fun part. And
I would love to do a live show in Los Angeles at some point over the next year.
Sounds good.
I think Harper and I are both sitting on tickets still from Delta that we bought out to LA before the pandemic started. And we've got vouchers. So at some point, we've already got a plane ticket. We just need to stay at your old empty house, and we'll be in good shape.
Hey, it's cold and drafty in there right now, though. It's going to smell like paint.
That's all right. We'll stay in your blanket fortress behind you as well. Something we talked about before the show started. I might have to clip in there so people can understand the joke. But
y'all can just stay here with me, man. I just talk about it. Got some male interaction. We can sit around, play some dominoes, smoke some cigars, drink some tequila. Mm. You know, it'd be good.
You give me so much more credit than I deserve. Dominoes and cigars. Like, Jesus Christ. White kid from New Jersey.
Okay, we can play some pinochle.
Just a round of sorry, and I'm okay. You know what I mean? Maybe some Uno, some high-stakes Uno, and I'm down. Down. We talked last week about Ben Simmons. And, you know, everybody, we were thinking about maybe Ben coming to Atlanta. But any deal that we looked at with Ben Simmons coming to Atlanta included Cam Reddish. Now we finish the show. We get it posted. Thursday morning I wake up. Cam Reddish is a New York Knick. Son of a bitch. The show just went out. And we're talking about Cam going to Philly. But no, yeah, Cam Reddish goes to the Knicks, reunites with R.J. Barrett, maybe paving a way for like a little mini Duke reunion if they manage to get Zion in New York. But what do you think about the move of Cam to New York?
I don't like it. I just think Cam is a talent to me, man. I think the dude can play just to get the PT in Atlanta like he should. I think you could have worked out a deal and you could have packaged him with someone else and got a good piece to add to the Atlanta Hawks team, because if you look at the Atlanta Hawks team, you know, they like one or two men away from like vying for the Eastern Conference Finals. I know everybody said, oh, went last year. Yeah, you went. It was a different story last year. You know, I think they need one more piece, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Travis Schlink, who, for those who don't know, is the GM of the Atlanta Hawks. One thing that he wanted, he was really wanting to get back, that he did get back, was that first round pick. Now, what he does with that first round pick, whether he decides to use it and draft another guy, young guy, or use it and pairing it with their own first round pick and trading it to go get a superstar, which I think that's what he'll do, that will determine how this trade looks in the long haul. Because that first round pick is really what he wanted. Obviously, you get back Kevin Knox, who's, you know, didn't work out in New York. Still a young guy, but New York.
I like him.
Yeah, they wanted to off him anyway. But that first round pick is going to be the determining factor of how this trade is going to look. And I don't think we'll know that until, I don't know, maybe the trade deadline, maybe not until next season.
Man, for me, people depend on picks so much now. I look at what the Rockets did, what Boston's done in the past. I'm like, man, the picks don't mean nothing, man, because there's no guarantee that you're going to get a great player. You know, Ja Morant in the last couple of years, Zion was up, he's out. But you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah,
you know, you need some proven players. To me, I'd rather take a guy in his third and fourth year and get like maybe five more years out of him, and then, okay, cross my fingers and pray to God that the pick I get is going to be good. Because there's no guarantee on the future. I'm going with what I can see in front of me right now, what's proven, what a guy can do. So, okay, you want to package up that pick and get yourself a good player down the line, that's great. But I'm trying to go for now, because I'm all about winning now, especially this day with COVID, injuries, and guys want to play with their friends. You know, you can't count on that stuff, man.
But I think when you're a smaller market team, you're a lot more settled into continuously accumulating those picks and building for the future and accumulating young talent. When you're LA, when you're New York, you may have those picks, but I want to try to, if I'm not going to use them to draft a guy or a guy that I feel as though is going to be a big time franchise player, I want to package as many picks as possible to see if I can go out and get a guy that's already in the league, like you said, 3-4 years in, that a lot of people see as a star, And I want to go get that because of the market that we're in. Like, L.A. wants to win now. L.A. doesn't. L.A. ain't never cared about draft picks. And they
unless
never
it was Magic or Worthy.
Right.
A Kobe.
Or Kobe. Yeah. But they didn't draft Shaq. They didn't draft Pau Gasol. You know, they didn't, you know, they didn't draft LeBron. So the Lakers have always been about going out and look, let's see the next big star that we can get that can lead our franchise for years to come. And New York, you know, well, New York has just been living off the cachet of New York. Ain't been nothing in years. But those big city franchises, those big markets, look, man, they trying to get some stars in there. They don't really care too much about them picks.
Man, I can't believe you just said what you said, man. You can't. They drafted Bynum. If it wasn't for Bynum, they would have won those championships.
You're right. I forgot.
Man.
My bad.
So they got that drafted Bynum, but you know, it, for me, it also goes down to being just a good basketball player, and I think it doesn't matter what market you're in, you know, because right now, think about it, Memphis is scaring everybody, and they look like. Ja probably ain't gonna go nowhere because he's got that city on lock.
Yep.
And with the way social media is now, I don't think it matters if you in New York, Idaho, Utah. If you got the right team behind you to push you, there's no such thing as a small market in the NBA now. You know, and I think these guys now, they know that because that's why they're always putting out content on social media. Because they're going to get more money off social media than they probably off their contract. So I think when it comes to, you know, the small market aspect of it, it kind of is kind of falls to the wayside unless you L.A., the Lakers or the Lakers. That's the only team that I see that that can make a difference in a guy's life as far as, you know, the market. Because everywhere else is like, blah. You know, even though it's in New York is falling off. As far as the market, because that got destroyed after Patrick Ewing and all those guys kind of, you know, tapped out. So it's no New York market anymore.
Well, New York hasn't been competitive in a long time.
Yeah, even making
the playoffs isn't you know, you're waiting for that moment where New York kicks itself in the leg, and sure enough, it happens.
Yeah, even with the trio over in Brooklyn, you're still like, it's Brooklyn. You know, it still doesn't have that lust.
You don't play at the Garden. You're not in the city. You know what I mean?
You're like that gritty and grimy. You're a suburb team.
Yeah.
So,
come on.
It's difficult, man. It's difficult.
Well, it is smacked. I mean, obviously, you know, I've been up there a couple of times for the draft, and it's like, I mean, right there, what is that, Atlantic Avenue? And I mean, it's smack dab right in the middle of Brooklyn. I mean, it just is what it is. You got some houses, some brownstones, and boom, there's
a couple delis.
There's Barclays Center
right there.
Right.
It's not the Garden. That's the Garden.
It's not the Garden. You play in the Garden. Well, then there's two. You know what? Even though the Garden's kind of a shithole, the thing about the Garden that's great is it's like right in the middle of the city. And it's got, I mean, just there's something, even though you could never go to a game at the Garden, but there's something extremely cool about rounding a corner in New York, and there's the Garden. And there's the lights and the thing, and it's like, damn, right dab in the middle of New York City is the basketball arena, and that's freaking awesome. And even if it's a dump, it's a destination place to play because it's in New York. And no matter what those guys in Brooklyn do, it's great.
Yep.
And I do, by the way, like the old school New Jersey Nets throwbacks. Those are actually pretty awesome. The old school Nets logo. I don't know. It's something about growing up in New Jersey that made me go, hey, New Jersey Nets.
Yeah, but those were the sweet ones. Yeah.
As the Nets, you'll always be that not quite New York team, even if you're in Brooklyn.
Right.
You know what I mean? Speaking
of the old school jersey, every time I think of a jersey, I think of Derek Coleman, Kenny Anderson. Petro, you know, like, where is Derek Coleman nowadays? You know, he was my favorite player.
Lord,
watching him at Syracuse kill, man. I used to love DC, man.
No idea. We'll do a Where Are They Now series one day. We'll get a bunch of players you want to know about. I'll get online. We'll find out. We'll do that in season two here of the Big Show Bob Pop.
Where Are They Now?
We'll do a Where Are They Now. You give me like 10 names, and we will go find out what the hell these guys are up to. You did bring up Memphis a little bit here. Did you see Ja going back and forth with Tony Bradley the other night?
Yes.
And then Steven Adams just picks him up and walks him out of the fight. just arms around Tony Bradley. See ya, you're leaving the fight. Picks him up and carries that man out of the fight. I thought that was awesome.
Hey, you know, Steven Adams is known as the peacemaker and the strongest guy in the NBA, but I'll be damned if you treat me like a baby. Hey, first of all, John done mushed the ball in my face.
Yeah.
Now you going to pick me up. Dude, your street cred just fell to below zero, man. You got to act, even though you ain't going to do that, you got to act the role, man. Like, get the fuck up off me, man. You got to do right. something, man. He just like this. He just smiled, kissed him on the cheek, said, thanks, Dad, put me to sleep.
Climbed into his little baby board and carried him off. Carried him off.
Hey, that is a... That is other type of strength. Like, you got folks who are strong, and you got folks who are strong. Like, that man, that ain't no small dude. Like, I forget how tall Bradley is. They say, what, 6'9", 6'10"?
Big dude,
six,
yeah.
Bro, Steven Adams is a strong man. To literally not just move the dude,
oh, pick
but
right
to
up.
Pick him up and say, no, nah, I'm going to place you over here because you in the
we'll
wrong
just go ahead and move
I'm gonna
you.
Place you right over here.
There you go.
Bruh, hey. I'm going to stand by. I think Steven Adams is literally, you've never seen him and Aquaman in the same place. That's all I got to say. All I got to say. You ain't never seen him in the same room. I ain't going to say nothing
just
else.
Give Steven Adams a trident and let him go.
That's
man.
It.
Just go, man. Go. I just thought it was great, man, though.
It was funny, man. But I'm like, he just like said, fuck it. I'm just going to let you carry me wherever you want. It's like, man, you cannot do that. And now, man, you see all your boys are going to be fucking with you.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, even as a team, I'm like, oh, you're just going to let him carry you off like that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You ain't
all right,
resist
Tony, time
at
to
all,
go to
huh?
bed. Let's pick you up and take you to bed, buddy. You know?
It was no resistance at all. He just said, okay, I'm just in your arms. You know, just carry me to wherever you're going to carry.
It was like, he didn't even take you to dinner first, did he?
Yeah, no. Got to put the two of them on the front of the Titanic together, just like
that. You just let that man pick you up like that, huh? You that easy, huh? Yeah, all right, okay.
Oh, man.
But here's the funny part, though. You know, Steven Adams might, you know, what's his Jason, Monet?
Oh, Momoa.
Momoa.
Yeah. Momoa. You know, he might need to call up Lisa Bonet. Like, yo, I hear y'all getting divorced.
Oh, no.
Do you want somebody like him but not like him? Holler at me.
Yeah. Do you want a Walmart Jason Momoa? Because I've got it for you.
I heard he couldn't pick you up. You saw how I picked up this dude, right?
Yeah. You think he's strong? I'm stronger.
I'll
throw you over my shoulder like a caveman and just walk away with you.
Yeah, I'm the real Aquaman around here.
Hey, but the funny part, though, man, is you look at all his team. Usually your teammates run in and try to act some. All the teammates turn around like, nah, I ain't fucking with him.
Yeah.
Nah, that's the strongest dude in the NBA. We ain't messing with him.
Yeah.
We just gonna sit back and skin and grin.
It's certain dudes in sports where, you know, they're not mean guys, but you can just tell, like, in the offseason when everybody else is, you know, lifting weights or running on the treadmill, getting cardio – this dude is in the woods chopping down trees.
Yeah.
Like, he's building things with his hands. Like, he runs with – he sees bears, and bears run the other way, you know?
Hey, just, old school Rocky, like, you know, you're training in the snow and – yeah.
Like yeah. –
hey, funny part, though, is you think that, but – Steven trains in Glendale, man. He trains in Glendale, California, like – who the hell trains in Glendale?
But he's a lot not of guys running up a mountain in Russia like Rocky.
Yeah, a lot of guys are starting to train out here in Glendale, man. It's like about 20 of them now because they got a nice facility in Glendale. And
why?
It's like, okay. It's a really nice facility here, and they got like four courts, a nice little they got a shooting coach there that's pretty good, and they're coming out now. And so I think it's kind of one of those hidden things that you have to know about this place.
Mm-hmm.
And they can pull up in their Lamborghinis, their Ferraris, and except for Steven, he's pulling up in an Uber and driving off. That just lets you know
he's
what
riding
type
a
of
seahorse
guy
in. What are you talking about? Freaking Aquaman. Man,
that's one of the places. That ain't the only place. Like I said, it's somewhere out there in the mountains, or, you know, you go further north to your Oregon and Washington neighbors. He in the woods somewhere running with the wolves and riding on moose and everything else.
I'd pay any amount of money to see him ride into a game on a moose.
Hey, that's a different type of strength, though. You don't pick up another guy that's 6'10 and carry him off.
With ease.
With ease.
They don't make they don't make diapers that big. Because you're going to put that man in, you're going to change the diaper next.
Because
you're going to have to call him daddy. That dude going to call you daddy.
First of all, they do make diapers, but they call it Depends.
We're not that old. Just because I have slip-on shoes doesn't mean I'm wearing Depends. I mean, I'm wearing Depends.
Well, I'm talking about, unless you bought some recently, Rob, I don't know if they make them for 6'10", dudes.
First of all, I did buy some because it was a funny thing. We did it for the White Elephant. where you give bad gifts.
Oh, yeah.
And so
you bought a box of Depends.
It was 3 years ago when I did, though. You had to buy some with Depends. That's the funny part, man. Like, you wrap it really nice. Somebody think, oh, this is a nice gift. And you open that shit up, it's Depends. It's
diapers. Nice.
Now, the question is, did they use them?
Question is, I don't know because I didn't get
it. You know, but Harper brings up a good point. How hard is it to find anything in your size? Not adult diapers, but like anything in your size.
You know, it used to be really bad. I remember growing up in high school, you could pull out the JCPenney catalog, and that was me, because they was the only ones that had big and tall. Yep. That was slim fit.
That's before the
internet.
Hey,
I look like, if I didn't move, you like thought I was a mannequin out of JCPenney catalog, because I just said, oh, that. I shopped off the mannequin, man. I was like, okay, that. I might pair a couple of things together, but it was because they didn't have that much, man. And you think about growing up in a small town like Andalusia, Alabama, it ain't like we could go down, you know, like here in L.A., you could roll over here to the mall and get something, a big and tall store in the mall. Mm-mm. It was straight JCPenney catalog, man.
Look, you like to make money, right? Everybody likes to make money. We just so happen to know, you know, somebody 7'1", 300 and whatever pounds, who is the face. And we got to get you next to him. And look, hey, JCPenney, hit us up. We got to get Rob some money. You're the only location that has ever had his size in anything. Hook the man up. Put him right next to the big fella, just like old times, and have a winning situation.
I like that.
Big fella, didn't he do he did Rochester Big and Tall for a while, didn't he?
I think he may have done something like that.
I think he did that, but no offense to Rochester Big and Tall, but I ain't that old to wear your clothes yet. You know, I ain't got much swag, but I got a little swag. Why can't we dress like a semi-old white man?
But I have to say
this. Always goes back to that.
For somebody your height, like, I always think about, like, really, you know, just tall people. I'm like, you got to be able to go make some money, because your stuff got to be custom made. Like, your shoes, you can't just find them off, like, in Foot Locker somewhere. You have to order them. You got to make some money. You got to have some money saved over. You got to have a really nice career, because you're going to have to order your stuff custom made, because you can rarely go out at the mall or sometimes even online some places and find your size.
It's funny you say that. I remember when I first got a little money, the first thing I do when we hit Atlanta, we run over there to the shoe store.
Freedman's.
We run over to the Freedman's and get those shoes, because you can buy shoes, man. And you hope that you hit Freedman's in the beginning of the year, because if you hit Freedman's in the end of the year and all these teams have come through that,
cleaned out.
Gone.
It was slim picking. So you got a point, man. You got to have some money. I see some tall guys in the store and I look, and it's funny, I'll be checking them out, not in that kind of way, but just to see what they have on. And like, oh shit, those are some nice jeans. I'm seeing myself, where the fuck you get them jeans?
Hey,
from?
Look, ain't no judgment my way.
Yeah, it was this big, tall, white kid in the store the other day. I was like, okay, he tall. You know, I did a little walk by to see if he's taller than me. And we were the same height. And I was like, oh shit, those are some nice ass jeans. I wanted to say, yo, dude, where you get these jeans from, man? Because I can't find none. But it's hard to find stuff, and you have to scour the internet. At least you have the internet now where you can just put in your size, your measurements, and stuff pop up.
Did you ask him, or was it just a thought that, dang, I wonder. Why you ask him?
It's COVID, man. I don't want to talk to no damn body.
And that, and we don't need TMZ running stories about Robert Ory asking guys about their inseam size in the middle of a department store.
Hey, guys got to be better about it. Like, if a dude got a nice shirt on, you're like, hey, that's nice. Hey, bro, I like your shirt. Where you get it from? Guys got to be better at that.
Oh, we're terrible at that.
We got to be better at that.
No, we're horrible at that.
No, we if the shoes, we're like, oh, man, I like those kicks, man. Where shoes. You get from? Shoes, that's the only thing.
Yep. Shoes and hats. Those are usually the two that'll be like, oh, where'd you get that hat? That's a cool hit. Where'd you get that? That's about it. Other than that,
you should ask him where he got it.
Man, what kind of underpants you wearing? Like, no, that's not really.
Ask him what his jeans. Like, you like the jeans? Ask him where he got his jeans from.
You're like, what kind of underwear are you wearing, sir? Well, I am wearing PSDs today, and you know those are the best ones. They're more comfortable than sport.
That's true.
I ain't gonna lie. PSD, that underwear right there. Yes, they good. I like those.
We are gunning for endorsements this week. I don't know if we're going to get any. We are gunning for them, man. Between JCPenney, damn, we are gunning for them.
Hey, somebody going to call the line.
Well, this is true. Hey, it'll happen.
Have y'all tried those, though, the PSDs, the underwear?
No.
They're more like they're really nice, man. You need to try those.
No.
Thank you for the draws recommendation.
There's so many roads we're not going to go down right now. There's so many roads.
Casual, athletic wear built for everyone.
Look at you. You got the slogan and everything? Jesus.
Oh, I don't know the slogan. I just said that.
Well, you made one up. They should be paying you for this. You're giving it away, man.
Me and Haynes have had a great relationship for a long time.
Yeah, same.
Hey, come on now. We all know you were Freedom of Looms generous. Come on now.
Oh, me? Generous. Oh, okay.
Oh, no, no, no.
We were tighty whities.
Oh, God, dude. I gave up on tighty whities when I was in like high school and someone introduced me to boxers. And I was like, oh, this is far less constricting as opposed to me walking on my toes most of the time in tighty whities. Those things are no joke. By the way, have you watched Peacemaker? On HBO.
I haven't watched it yet.
Speaking of tighty whities, John Cena in his underpants in that show is freaking hilarious. And
I just finished watching Hawkeye.
How'd you like Hawkeye?
I liked Hawkeye.
I thought it was good. Yeah, I thought it was good.
I like the fact that they try to do some comic relief in a lot of these now.
Yeah, Hawkeye was. They don't get too heavy. Peacemaker's hilarious.
Oh, I gotta watch it.
It's James Gunn who did Suicide Squad and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
It's freaking awesome. It's like he just got off Suicide Squad and said, we got to do a show around John Cena as Peacemaker because he's freaking hilarious. And the first three episodes are up and holy cow, that show, that show is wild. That show is wild. John Cena and his tighty whities is what brought that up.
Rob, did I ever ask, I may have asked you this before, but did you ever watch Ozark?
Yes.
You know, season, was it four or three?
Four?
It was on Friday? Starts.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, boy, I can't wait.
Fuck you, Marty.
I watched. I've only watched the first season of Ozark.
Why are you doing yourself that disservice?
I thought it was awesome, and for some reason, and I can't put my finger, I never went back and watched seasons two and three. But season one was freaking awesome.
Two and three is even better.
Oh wow!
But you know, it's like it was this week. This weekend was like, what's Jeremy Renner?
Jeremy Renner.
Renner. Yeah, it's like his weekend because I was watching Mayor of Kingstown, too.
Oh, how is that?
It's actually pretty good.
Okay. Yeah. I've heard a lot of people talk about it, but have not bothered to watch it.
Yeah, you have to watch it, too. Yeah, it's pretty good.
All right, well, let's get the bus back on the road here now that we're off on Tidy Whitey's, John Cena, Jeremy Renner. We've gone down a road. Did you ever get, and I don't know, as a fan, I always thought this was stupid. The distraction behind the basket when you're trying to shoot a free throw. And fans are waving and screaming and clapping. And did that ever even affect you in any way?
If I'm sitting there and it didn't bother me shooting, but sometimes you look and you're like, oh shit, that's a post of such and such. And then you read the comments. Some of it should be funny. Some of these fans can come up with some funny stuff, man. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
But as a shooter, it never bothered me at all. I remember the gorilla up in, is it Bear? This is a bear in Utah, right?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. I know it's like a gorilla in Phoenix.
It's a gorilla in Phoenix, it's the bear in Utah. He was so slick that he would get on the back and like jump and it would move the basket. And nobody ever said something until someone said, yo, man, ref, look, he's moving the basket.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh. And it was really slight. Just enough if you hit that rim and then fall off. But
right.
Yeah.
So that was the only time. But
okay.
It never bothered me.
So you brought up the mascot. Devin Booker had a problem last week with the Toronto Raptor, the mascot, the Raptor. Here's the audio from the game.
If Booker makes the second free
Booker,
throw.
By the way, Booker's complaining about the Raptor, the lone fan that's there. I mean, the Raptor, he's been sent away. Aaron Smith sent him away.
Come on, there's nobody in the gym. That ain't right. Come on, you played at Kentucky in the SEC. You know, they're not going crazy when you play Louisville.
Well, imagine a super fan was there, right?
Alabama, he jumps around, has a towel going. That ain't
and
right.
They send the Raptor away.
So the Raptor, by the way, if you're playing in Toronto, you're still playing in empty arenas,
which is just
mind-boggling at this point. So nobody's in the arena. So the Raptor's the only one to sort of do the distraction behind the basket. And immediately Devin Booker's like, yeah, I don't like it. Get him out of here. And then the refs move the mascot. They make him go away. Send him to the tunnel.
That is some weak ass shit. I'm mad at the refs. The fact that Dev Booker got that much power to make the refs move the mascot.
He's a mascot. He's a foam dinosaur. Shoot the shot. What are you doing? Like, if that's going to be the game breaker,
they lose at this point, because when you lose, you get irritable by anything.
That's like, a great question. I don't know if they were losing or not. Yeah,
I guarantee they were probably losing. Devin Booker's either having a bad game, but you know when guys are having a bad game or losing anything, this would be get them some kind of joy. Like,
yeah,
I got. Let me show you how much power. Go and move the mascot out the way.
Get his ass out.
When I saw that, I was like, this is some ridiculous shit, man.
The best is now every other team mascot is preying on it now. They're putting on like cones of silence and stuff.
Yeah, it's like, ridiculous.
They're all just kind of effing with him now. But yeah, like the only person allowed in the building is the Raptor, and he's not allowed to stand near the basket.
Like, bro.
So stupid.
You play with thousands of fans in the arena, and hundreds of them are sitting behind the basket, waving thunder sticks, got all kind of signs, doing all kind of things. You don't say anything then.
Nope.
But you let this rap. Bro, everybody wants to talk about Mamba mentality, right? And everybody likes to utter that phrase, and that phrase has been his catchphrase ever since even before we lost Kobe, but especially since we've lost him. And a lot of guys cling to it. Well, I'm like, I get it. You're not Kobe. We already know it. He said, I'm not Kobe. I'm like, you just realized that. We've all known you're not Kobe. you're great. But, bro, if you're going to have Mamba mentality, you think Kobe is standing at that line complaining about some lone Raptor in the corner? Really?
But you do have to. This is coming from the guy who got pissed off because he got double teams.
Yep, you're right. So, you're right. My bad. You're right.
Perspective.
So now that's the second diva move he's made.
Perspective.
So,
perspective.
Yeah, I think for me, like you said, Devin Booker's a hell of a player. He's one of the top 10 shooters in the league.
He's really fun to watch too.
Yes.
But you got to understand, dude. It ain't always about you. Just play the game. The mascot is for entertainment because Toronto can't have fans, so they got to have something for television that they can watch. You think they just want to watch you shoot?
If Booker makes the second.
They want to see the Raptor. They will see something, some type of interaction in the stands because they can't be there. So
the funny thing is the Raptor is for the fans, and there's no fans there.
Yeah.
So it's like now he's just trying to come up with stuff to do to be like relevant.
Or either that or they're probably paying him. He's trying to keep a job.
Right. So he's like, all right, I got to do something.
Right.
Yeah, well, might as well learn the halftime dance. Let's go. That's something.
He did his job, though, because he got one of the best players in the league to complain. He did his job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they sent him to sit sheepishly in the corner by himself, like a little timeout circle with a hat on. Yeah.
Hey, you know what would have been funny, though, if you would have said no and then just start running around and the refs was trying to chase him?
See, now, that's old school comedy that we would love. Play the Benny Hill music.
Exactly.
And he's just running in circles. That's good stuff.
If security had been chasing, he'd be like, hit you with a step back.
Yeah. Try and do the Duke.
Yeah, it's just, come on, dude.
It's just funny.
Just shoot the free throw, dog. Just play.
How much NFL playoffs did you watch?
All of it.
I only watched one game.
What game?
That was the Cowboys 49ers.
That was the good game.
I wanted to see. I wanted to see CD Lamb do his thing, but unfortunately, I can't believe I'm saying this, that the Cowboys lost. I've never been a Cowboys fan, but I want CD to have as much success as possible. So I was. That's the only game I watched. Everybody else was like,
every
all the other
game was a blowout, and they were. Every other freaking game was a complete blowout.
But bro, you got a nice new stadium, beautiful stadium, in your backyard, and two teams are playing. You telling me you didn't watch that game at all?
I had to work. The Lakers played the same.
Oh yeah, you're
as
right.
The Rams,
because LeBron was complaining about that. That's what that was. Yeah, you're right.
The Rams, by the way, ran all over the Cardinals.
Say?
That was hard to watch.
To me, man.
That was hard to watch.
Murray looked like it was fresh, like a
first
rookie.
Game.
He looked so bad.
He is a rookie to the playoffs.
I know he's a rookie to play, but still, though, you got to have like that ill-advised pass he threw
out of the end zone. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, take the safety at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, he is literally about to hit the ground and just goes, I'm going to huck this thing up, and it turns into a seven. So. Yeah, I mean, just absolutely brutal. But I was surprised that they haven't canceled more. Speaking of L.A. and your fancy new stadium, it seems like a lot of these Super Bowl parties are on in L.A.
Oh, yeah.
Which I was very surprised by because the restrictions where you are versus the restrictions where we are like
night and day.
Two different nations.
Yep.
It's not even like the same country.
Politics.
Politics. Yep. It is indeed.
Politics.
It is absolutely politics.
But, you know, basically, you got to think about this. It's all about sponsors. When it comes to Super Bowls, NBA Finals, World, it's all about the sponsors.
Right.
And they've already booked these venues. And if I'm a venue, you're going to book me? Yeah, I want half my money and it's non-refundable.
Right.
So you got to say, okay, we're going to go ahead and go through it. We're going to have all these quote-unquote COVID restrictions and guidelines. And they just want to get the people. And then they want to try to get some of their money back. They want to make the sponsors happy. So, but for me, I think out of my whole 50 years of living, I've only gone to one Super Bowl party.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you been in, I'm assuming you've been invited to plenty, though, right?
I've been invited to plenty. Okay. I didn't even go to – when Super Bowl was in Houston, I didn't go to any parties in Houston. The funny part, my good friend Josh here in L.A., he threw a Super Bowl party back when I think it was the Raiders played Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl down in San Diego.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, this is like 01.
Oh, yeah.
03 maybe? Only,
yeah, and we had the and Phil gave us two days off. You should have seen everybody jumping in their cars and driving down to San Diego for the Super Bowl. And I went to a party then, and that was the only time I've ever been to a Super Bowl party. Let me just say that party was the best party I've ever been to. Probably top five parties I've ever been to in my life.
Who was it hosted by? Was it like anybody in particular, or was it just a party of friends?
It was just a party one of my friends hosted. It was like it was cool because how they had it set up. They had different themes, and they had a 50s diners theme. They had these really cute girls walk around in cops. They would arrest you and take you to a mugshot with
now
them.
I get it. Was, it.
They had this one where you could be like in a sports car and you was driving with the video screen up there. It was cool, man. It was just it was an old bread factory that had went out of business, and they just made it into a big party. It was cool.
That sounds like somewhere a Batman villain would hide out.
Exactly.
An abandoned bread factory.
Yes.
And you find the Riddler.
Let me tell you, what was it, 2019, 2018, when the Super Bowl was here,
Rob? Yeah, I think it was 2018.
Yeah, Rams-Patriots, let me tell you. Atlanta, Atlanta will throw a party for anything. We throw a Dr. King party on his to observe. The clubs are up. They are going up, on Dr. King. So, when it comes to the Super Bowl, any big event, there's a party everywhere. And let me tell you, like I went to two of them, and it is a who's who event. You just never know.
Yeah. So, we had here at the stadium, Shaq rented out the building next door.
Funhouse.
And did Shaq's Funhouse right here where we work. And the highlight of the night for me is I'm leaving. It's like almost 2 o'clock in the morning, which, by the way, I might as well have stayed up for a week if I went until 2 o'clock in the morning. How does that happen?
Yep.
And I'm walking out, and they had this little carousel out front, four little horses on a merry-go-round carousel, and you could get on it and ride it for a few minutes. And I'm walking out, and here is half awake, half asleep, Dr. Oz hanging out on this little merry-go-round, just going around in a circle. Looked like he had way too many Red Bull and vodkas, and it's just just passed out, riding this little carousel in a circle. And I'm like, well, that's some surreal shit you'll never see again for the rest of your life.
You know, upstairs there's the VIP area. I'm looking. There's Dak Prescott in the VIP area. It's like anywhere you turned in this venue, because the venue's not big, but it's a nice size venue.
That's fun.
You just didn't know who you were. You think you're bumping into somebody, some random person.
That's Killer Mike.
Right. It's a
Dwight Howard.
Four-time Grammy-winning singer or, a top-of-the-line actress. I'm walking to the car probably about 1:30 in the morning, walking to the deck. Reggie Bush is just lightly just walking past. And I'm like, bro, that's Reggie Bush. That's a Heisman Trophy winner just walking.
Yo, Robert Horry hates your ass. Robert Horry hates your ass. Come on,
I hate Reggie Bush. I don't hate Reggie. I love Reggie. I thought Reggie was going to be the next Barry Sanders.
He just don't think he should have won the Heisman.
I just don't think I got to root for my boy, man. It's my boy. I got to go for a Texas guy.
Robert Horry hates your ass. Don't worry. Come on the show.
Oh, in this season, in year two, we having Reggie Bush on because you had Vince on. Look, now we got to have Reggie on.
Look, we got to have Vince and Reggie on at the same time.
We can have them on together. That's fine. We'll promote Wendy's. Fucking Reggie in that Wendy's commercial.
Who baked my bacon?
Yeah, it's on every eight seconds.
Rob, was that you that baked my bacon?
Be like, Reggie, get your fucking ass out of this Wendy's, man. What are you doing here? Oh, dude? Go home, man. You're Heisman Trophy winner, sort of.
I think, speaking of that party, the best party I went to was hosted by the guy who owns Ralph's and Randall's and all that kind of stuff. And at that party, I met Michael Jackson, Puffy.
Oh, man.
Oh, you met the GOAT?
I met the GOAT, man. And I was like a little kid right there. I was just like, you know.
Take us through that just because I want to know what that was like.
Yeah.
This is what pays off to be a Laker. So it was this party. He had this house on top of the hill. And I'm going right. And I was like, where's Park? And like, what's your name? Robert Orr. No, you go this way. You go this way. I parked at the house. I'm like, oh, shit. I was the only one. I felt so special. I walked in that bitch with my chest out. Like, yeah. Sounds chest.
That's my car right there.
And at the party, it was, you name a star. They was in there on the couch. Can't was imagine. Sitting there. It was Michael Jackson, Demi Moore, Puffy. It was just sitting there talking, man. God. I'm like, oh, shit. This is Michael Jackson right here, man. You know, I just spoke and, you know, went on my way. I just want to say, hey, I'm a Bill fanboy. Yeah. Big fan. Love you. And, you know, he was very nice. He spoke. But I went to go get a drink. And at the time, I was in love with Rosalind Sanchez, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting a drink. I turn around and she's right behind me. Oh. I damn near pissed in my pants. Oh. I was so excited.
Between her and Michael Jackson.
There, I sat there and was talking to her forever, man. She having this little dress that cut down like really low to her belly button. Half a boob was out on each side. I'm like, oh, this is the love of my life, man.
How'd you focus, man?
I just looked her straight in the eyes, man. I was just talking to her. And she was, the funny thing, like you said, she's just walking around by herself. It was so many people there that they felt comfortable. They was walking around by themselves. So right. When I got ready to leave, all these people were getting in these cars and being shuttled away. And here I am getting in my car. And everybody looking at me like, how the fuck he get to park up here? Hey, I'm a 5-time NBA champ. I'm picked for the world champion in Los Angeles Lakers. And, I know I got some juice sometimes.
Now, the question is Michael Jackson or was he a Laker fan?
I don't know, man.
I think Michael Jackson was a sports fan, really.
Remember the times he had Magic in his video? So he probably was a Laker fan.
He did. Yeah. It's your right.
Who wasn't a Laker fan? Think about it. I think everybody was a Magic fan because I'm thinking about when New Edition Magic called New Edition down on the court in that video. So,
I don't know how much Michael was into sports. He didn't come, at least he didn't come off as a guy that watched a lot of sports.
Right. He just was, he had relationships with people who just happen to play the sport. Yeah. That's dope. That's
interesting. Yeah. I'm always interested to hear stories about, like, if you meet somebody, because Michael Jackson is like next level famous.
Yes.
Like, there's famous, and then there's like, I was once the president of the United States, or I am Michael Jackson, or I am Madonna famous. Like, are like, there's some that are in the cloud that are like beyond everything.
This makes you so upset that they didn't have the same technology. Now they back then, because we had cell phones, but they didn't have camera phone and everything. I'd be like a family. Yo, man, you got to take a picture of me, dog. You got so.
How you think today is bad? You know how much trouble a lot of people would have been in if we had this 15, 20, 25 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
oh,
dude. You know how it's like an 85% chance that you get a divorce when you leave the NBA? It wouldn't have made it to 85 because none of these guys would ever got married.
Yeah. It would have been 100% in-league divorce rate. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no joke.
Yeah, Michael Jackson is one of those guys where it's like, you talk about next level. Bro, not everybody has the privilege or the money to have pet giraffes and lions. You know, Mofo got dogs and cats. He has animals that eat dogs and cats. Yeah. And he just outside, that's just naming them. And he had a monkey. He had Bubbles.
Oh, yeah, I remember Bubbles. Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah.
Where in the heck do you go buy a monkey?
You're Michael Jackson. The monkeys are brought to you regularly. just pick them.
Don't a friend of ours, we want to call his name out, doesn't he have a tiger?
Oh, Shaquille?
Yeah.
I want to call his name out.
No. We're going to call him out for that. So he pays to a sanctuary that takes care of, I think, like 5 or 6 different baby tigers. And one of them, back in the day, was the Tiger King. We found out when that shit hit Netflix that Shaquille gave that guy some money.
But you ain't going to Shaq's house and the tiger is roaming in his front yard like a dog.
You ain't been there in a minute. You get enough Instagram models and you just let the tigers out. Just let the tigers out. Don't fend them off. Well, the reason I brought up the NBA the NFL playoffs is because I've got the audio of the week this week. We are going to get to the big shot of the week, and I do have some awesome questions for you this week in post-game presser, but this is from ESPN's Get Up, which actually is an appropriate name in this case because this is Bart Scott.
And oh, my goodness.
They are talking about Josh Allen, the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, who, by the way, you play in Buffalo, not a fan of the cold weather.
Right.
And I'm like, dude, you play in Buffalo. It's always it's cold in May.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess he has poor circulation in his feet. Well, as they're talking about this, Bart Scott comes in with a no. You got to use the NFL home remedy for poor circulation.
The guy hates the cold. He doesn't play well. And he says the reason is because he's got bad circulation. So his toes get cold. And as you know, with your feet.
Can I get you a suggestion for him?
You want me
Josh Allen listening? Can people get this message to him? Viagra. Take some Viagra for the game, baby. That'll fit that circulation going right.
I don't know how to move off of that.
I don't have any medical background, so I don't really have a response to that, but you played, so you must know something.
A lot of us take Viagra, right? Because Viagra opens up the blood vessels.
A lot of us take Viagra. What do you mean
a lot of NFL players, at least in my day, took Viagra because it opens up the blood vessels. A lot of endurance athletes, because Viagra was first a heart medicine, right? So it builds up circulation, which makes sure that it gets the circulation to the feet.
Okay.
These statements have not been evaluated by
the
I was going to go Buffalo, like just the wings extra hot, but you know, you seem to.
What were we talking about?
But you know the funny thing about this whole thing, because I watched this live, Diana Rossini and it was a couple of other people.
Was it Kendrick who was laughing in the background?
No,
somebody was giggling their ass off.
It was
the whole
a couple
thing.
Of other people they had like off-site on like a Zoom thing, yeah. And you just look at their faces like, I don't know.
I just love that his explanation is a lot of guys in the NFL take Viagra to get their blood pumping.
Bro, bro.
I'm like, dude, that's a flag. Or a tent. I don't know, one of the two, but
hey, I guess you got to, you know, think about it in a scientific way. and not in a what it was made for way, because he's right. Viagra wasn't made for
what it's used for, yeah.
Yeah, it was made for something for the heart, and you found out it had a side effect. So I would say, maybe what Doris said when you need it, though.
It's not just when you come, like, it's how hard you come.
Oh, it's Doris's response.
It's still for the heart. It brings the heart joy that it opens up so many other things. Bro, it's like he turned into a whole doctor.
Yes.
The hell you talking about?
We don't know. All right, so I bring it up for a question. This was
no,
not.
I have not ever taken Viagra.
No, I was not asking you that. Did you? But now that it's out there, were there any like NBA home remedies, like stuff that you would do or players would do that was like, instead of X, I'm gonna do this? Like I put honey in my socks or some shit. I don't know.
No, you know, the only thing for me personally, I can't speak to anybody else. The only thing I ever did was take BC powders before playoff
games. We talked about that.
But other than that, I didn't do anything else. There was no home remedies or anything, because at the end of the day, you still got to get out there and hurting it regardless and perform. That home remedy bullshit, you know, it doesn't work half the time, I think.
Can you imagine, back to football, like, can you imagine everybody's like, you know what? We're going to test this theory out, and we all going to pop a Viagra. Can you – bro.
Every guy in the league just falls
imagine,
like halfway over.
Like,
I got a kickstand.
The offensive linemen can't even get down in their stance. They standing up halfway.
So does – with after you take back, do you have any control over that aspect of it?
I don't know.
I've never used it, but I'm going to assume probably not.
Yeah,
because the disclaimer on the package is if it lasts longer than 4 hours, you need to call a doctor. And I'm like, so wait a minute, I'll be walking around for 4 hours just like, hey, what's up? You know, like for 4 hours?
So you salute and it's like, okay, well, you got to make sure you strap it the right way.
You can't even, you can't even like
waistband that joker, because otherwise.
But you're just going to be guys like skill players. Now you're running funny.
when you see two guys going at each other
but they can't quite, they just not as close as they can get to each other.
But there's so many things out there now that they've come up with that you can wear and, you know, on your feet to get the circulation or something.
That's a whole new meaning. So, you know, when you like you're doing like the quarterback sneak and then they are, you see this big old pile, folk will get up quicker than what they usually do because you feel like
Let me just say this. If I'm a quarterback, I'm taking everything in the shotgun. Shotgun, baby, shotgun.
No, get up under center. No, I'm all right. I'm all right.
Yeah, oh, man.
Audible. Omaha, whatever.
Boy, them boys sitting up there sword fighting on the field. Look,
don't cross the streams. That's the rule. Don't cross the streams and you're okay.
Oh, hey, your Schwartz is bigger than my Schwartz.
I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
Hey guys, Jay Cutler. Started a new podcast called Uncut with Jay Cutler. Most of you know me from the NFL. Some of you have seen me on Instagram. And some of you know me from the reality TV world. Each week, I'm taking you along with me as we discuss football, trending topics, and whatever's going on in my life each week. I'm bringing along people that are special in my life. Former teammates, friends, and some new people that I like and respect. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Podcasting? I think I'm doing this right. Can't wait to get started with you. Go subscribe now. Uncut with Jay Cutler. Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify. Or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, well, let's do big shots of the week. I've got two of them. Two stories this week that were just too good. The first one is going to go to a homeless Houston man named Johnny Walker. And it's not that Johnny Walker, but here's why. The 53-year-old man has been homeless since 2006. Last week, he had jumped into action to help rescue the life of a Harris County sheriff's deputy who was involved in a fiery car wreck. He was at the intersection. He saw the wreck happen. He jumps in immediately and pulls this guy out of his car, gets him to safety before the fire erupts and all this other stuff happens, and basically saves his life. Here's why it's awesome. His family didn't know where he was. They hadn't been able to reach him for like 3-4 months. Mm. And then they see him on the news saving a police officer's life and being hailed as a good Samaritan.
Right.
And they drive out immediately to where he's at. And it's like this, it turns into this big family reunion.
That's dope.
So not only does he save a man's life, he manages to get reconnected with his family. So just a good job by that guy. You know,
that's a great, and think about it, that's a whole show in itself. You know, someone can go around filming these homeless people and saying, you know, if you're missing anyone, check out this. But for him to risk his life being homeless and saving a police officer, because you think about it, so many of those police officers now, when they see a homeless person, they either, you know, take them to jail or move them along or something of that nature. So for him to say, you know what, I'm just, at the end of the day, I'm a good human being. And that's what I say about a lot of homeless people. I know we have a lot of homeless people doing some crazy shit. Like they just had someone stab a lady and push a lady in front of a bus or whatever it was. And so,
oh, yeah, I heard about that.
There's some homeless people that just fight on, they just got a wrong end of the stick, man.
Well, they're just people.
Yeah.
They're just people. They're people that life has not been kind to.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Correct.
And it's not, sometimes it's their fault, 100%.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about Delonte West a bunch.
Right.
You know, however many times someone's tried to reach out and help Delonte, he's managed to find a way to kind of blow it up.
Right.
You know, even Mark Cuban went out of his way to help.
Some people just need help because it's a chemical imbalance in their body, and you can't do anything about it. It's just, you know, you just have to say, okay, what it is is what it
is. And some people just get these runs of hard luck, you know what I mean, where life just kind of chews you up, spits you out, you know, and it's tough, but... It didn't affect this man's heart because he has a good heart. Yeah. So good for him. My second big shot of the week.
Hold on,
go ahead.
Before we go on to the next thing.
Because I almost borderline hate the next big shot of the week.
And you know, kind of just to, you know, obviously break up a little bit of a serious moment because that was a great moment. But Rob, don't say raw end of the stick after the segment you just got
after
done
the Viagra
with.
Conversation.
You should have come up with a, like a raw deal.
You're right.
Or
sorry,
you know, a bad something.
Sometimes life just sticks it to you. Nope, that's probably not it either. Probably not the way to go either. You know,
I combined two: short end of the stick and raw end of the deal. That's still just as bad, though. You know,
you got the raw end of the deal and the short stick. Wait, what?
That's really bad, especially with your Viagra. Yeah.
Stick. Yeah, if you take Viagra, you still got a short stick. We got, okay. All right. Then we got a bigger problem.
Make a phone call.
All right. Well, an awkward transition to the next big shot of the week.
Okay.
The next one's going to guy, yet again, I am not a guy that will stand here and proclaim to really love this guy, but Tom Brady's getting the big shot of the week this week.
Really?
Yeah, here's why. Rob, this was probably a month ago you brought up on the show. You saw Tom shout out, give a game ball to a kid in the stands who had the sign that said, Tom Brady helped me cure my brain cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And he made sure he gave that kid some love, got him a game ball. Excuse me. Really, you know, well, of course, because he's freaking Tom Brady. He goes the extra mile, and he sends this kid a video message.
Hey, Noah, what's up, man? Happy New Year. I know it's been a while. I hope you've been enjoying the season so far. We're grinding and getting ready to start the playoffs. But earlier, you held up that sign that I helped you beat brain cancer. Well, listen, your fight, you've inspired so many people, including myself, but millions of others also. And the NFL and the Bucks look forward to sending deserving fans to the Super Bowl each year and fans that have incredible stories like the one you've had. So as a thank you, I worked with both the Bucks and the NFL to get you and your family Super Bowl tickets this year in LA. We certainly hope to be there, but I know you're going to be there. It's going to be really cool for all of us. So glad to see you're doing well. Take care, man. And enjoy the tickets. Let's go.
That's dope.
First of all, I love Tom Brady, but I'm not giving him the big shot for that because he had to collab with two people. He didn't do it by himself. And I guarantee you, someone else out there that collab with that. So he's not getting the big shot.
Okay, that's fine.
He's not
going
to step in front of Johnny Walker Black. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, that's right.
You're out, Tom Brady.
Yeah, Tom Brady.
Your act of kindness is shit.
Yeah, we're going to – I'm going to find a way.
Take it to some other podcast.
Because that was great what he did.
Yeah.
Honestly, for me, any time – and you've said this before, Rob. Any time you can prop up a kid. And go out of your way to make a kid feel special or understood or seen. I mean, and especially having gone through what that kid went through. Uh-huh. I mean, brain cancer at however this kid's 12 years old. I mean, some of us will never face that in our entire life. And this kid beat it. So just anytime you're going to prop up a kid like that, and give him an opportunity, and kid gets to go to a Super Bowl. Doesn't matter if Tom Brady's there or not. Kid gets to go to the Super Bowl because of the Bucks. So.
But he'll always remember Tom Brady, even if it wasn't the tickets. The fact that Tom Brady sent him a personal message.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that Tom Brady was able to get him those tickets, whether Tom is there or not. He'll always remember the Super Bowl and Tom Brady sent me something personally.
Yeah. You know, the one thing about it is all about, you know, the kids and someone who has had a troubling life at such a young age, and for Tom Brady to step up, even, you know, all jokes aside, even if he had whoever it may be to help him, he got it done.
Got it done.
Yeah.
He's sending his kid to a Super Bowl. Think about it. How many of us have been to a Super Bowl game? I haven't. I've been to a lot of Super Bowl. I've been to one Super Bowl party.
Yeah, right. There was one in town.
I've been to a lot of NBA championships, but I've never been to a Super Bowl. You know, it's just only one game. You know what? I am telling a lie. I did go to the Super Bowl. It was in Houston. I apologize for lying to you people.
Really?
Because I know people have fact-checked that. I saw you there with your son on
his birthday. We got pictures.
Very, very fifth. So I went to the Super Bowl with light. Was it the lights went out in Houston? And
no, that was New
that
Orleans.
That was New Orleans. That was like 2012, 13.
Who was the Super Bowl in Houston they just had not too long ago?
In Houston?
Yeah.
They had you tripping. You trying to be funny. No. That was the Falcons.
Oh, it was the Falcons?
That was the Falcons and the Patriots in 2016. That had to be Houston.
Yeah.
He did that purposely. He did that purposely.
No, I did not.
I just caught on. I was like, Houston.
Hey, what? Watch how high my voice goes. No, I did not. No, what you talking about?
He did that purposely.
Shut your bum ass up, man.
That is some underhanded shit right there, man. God damn. All right. Well, let's get to the post-game press. Underhanded. I thought we were all friends.
Politics.
Desi, all right, so post-game press conference, by the way, if you ever have questions for the post-game press conference, you can send them to bigshotbobpod@gmail.com on Instagram and on Twitter @bigshotbobpod. Desi wants to know, what was your favorite city to play in? And adversely, what was the worst city to play in?
I'm going to start out with the worst.
What was the worst city to play in?
The worst was Denver. I hated playing in Denver.
Why?
The reason is because back when I played against Denver, Denver sucked. So the Avalanche was the better of the sports. And, you know, So think about it. They kept the ice down the whole time. So they just came and put the floor on top of the ice.
Did they really?
And so the floor was so cold. And going back to your toes being cold as a player, my toes was cold, which went up to my knees.
We have a solution for that.
Nah, I'm good. Okay. I'm good. Right, I'm good. Right, I'm so thinking. Everything just hurt. And then it was mile high. It was hard to breathe in that first quarter.
Yeah.
But so I hated playing in Denver for that reason. But, okay. You know, and plus you could go to Denver. We went to Denver one time. We were all in shorts. We walk into practice. We come out of practice. It's like 8 feet of snow. We're like, what the fuck happened? What's going on?
He blinked. Yeah. What was your favorite city you're playing?
Miami.
Well, for obvious reasons.
Miami,
or...
Trick.
Yeah, you've talked about Miami before.
Just because the cute girls in the stands, the humidity, you know, the humidity does something special for your body, man, as far as when you got the joints and it going from one place that's cold like Colorado to Miami where the humidity is up and you feel good and you have to plan. So Miami, man. So I'm not going to count L.A. because I played in L.A. And I love playing in Atlanta because I on a personal note, because my mom and my dad, they both would come watch me play at the same time because, you know, Atlanta is 3 miles from Columbia, South Carolina, 3 miles to 4 miles from Andalusia, Alabama. So that was good, too. So those two cities.
Yeah, not 3 miles.
Three.
I mean, three hours, my bad.
Oh, yeah, okay.
3 hours.
Like
3 hours.
Did Atlanta move? Did it shift?
Yeah, Columbia moved.
Atlanta ain't 3 miles from Atlanta.
That's just the truth. Because we a good 12 miles from the city.
Yeah. Anywhere you go. We're in Atlanta, and you couldn't get anywhere near the city right now.
Right.
Yeah. All right, so my follow-up question to that was, who was your favorite teammate to play with? And adversely, who was your teammate that you didn't really like to play?
You know, it's weird. When you win, you like everybody.
Yeah.
You know, my worst was Danny Ainge. I fucking hated him.
That's obvious. That's sure.
And, I didn't even play against him, but he was our assistant coach, so he had to play one day in practice because everybody was hurt. And boy, that was the best day ever because I think that's the hardest screens I ever hit. But I'm like, pow! And he was like, what you said fucking screens like in the game? I said, dude, motherfucker, you just don't play me. And so, so that was fun. but, I had a lot of great players. I think, you know, I've started out, Otis Thorpe was a mentor to me, him and Tree Rollins.
Sure.
Y'all know Tree Rollins right there. And then when I went to L.A., you know, Shaq was always fun. And Kobe and Nick and Fish and Rick and all those guys.
I'll tell you what, Shaq's got a lot of love for you, too.
Yeah.
Your name came up a lot in our previous show. Not in bad ways, but just
because I was
man,
only
he's got a lot of love for you.
I was the only the cool guy. And I was just like me, you know. I was just I didn't care if I won. I didn't come there and flash the shit, you know. I'm just a country boy who just loved playing basketball and loved his teammates. And so, and then in San Antonio, the only person I really talked to was Michael Finley. When he got there, Bruce Bowen, Michael Finley was, you know, from when he and I played in Phoenix together. So it was just, I was this guy who just kind of, I put up a wall. And this wall started back when I was in Houston, when you fall in love with all these guys and you know, as your brothers, and next thing you know, you get traded, the relationship goes this way. And so it was like, I put up a wall, like, okay, I'm going to just have you as a colleague. I'm not going to really let you into that friend zone because to me, it was kind of hard to leave someone you just spent all this time, you become good friends with, you go into another city and you got to start a new relationship. So I kind of put up a wall and I really didn't let too many guys in.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Dan on Twitter wants to know, where do you see yourself in the next 10 years, coaching or just being a chill retiree? Good question, though.
I would love to coach and I wanted to coach so bad, but I think the window for me to coach is closed because, you know, they probably like, oh, you're 50 years old. You can't relate to them or whatever. You kind of age.
Doc Rivers, 800 years old. He's still coaching.
I know it, but he started in the business. He's not new to the business. I'll be new to the business. So,
okay.
But, you know, I hopefully I can still be with Spectrum, you know, and doing this and, you know, having fun, man, because that's what life's about. You know, I don't plan to do anything hard as far as work-wise. Mm-hmm. I've done enough of that.
Yeah.
And I made enough money. But I just want to do something that's casual where I have the flexibility to do what I want. And hopefully I'll be sitting in the stands somewhere and one of my sons is playing a professional sport or, you know, having a great job where they can take care of me.
Well, that's the dream, man, isn't it?
Yeah.
Carried your ass for all these years. Why don't you help me out? All right, to follow up, if you could pick any team in the league to coach, where do you want to coach? If you could pick any team.
First of all, where do you want to go? I don't like losing. And so even though Phoenix is the best team, I definitely don't want to be in fucking Phoenix. So I'll pick the Warriors. I just think the culture there and listening to those guys talk, because think about it, you never really hear any turmoil coming out except for a couple of years with Draymond and KD, but you never hear any turmoil. And it just seems like a really cool organization, you know, being a part of the Silicon Valley thing and having great players around you. And I think that would probably be an organization. But on the flip side of that, Houston, you know, I got a lot of love for Houston, man. And I started my career off there and my sons are still there. And so
you got some rebuilding to do in Houston.
Yeah. So, but you know, plus there's no state tax.
No state tax.
Every time, man.
No state tax.
Hi, I'm Robert Horry for Houston. There's no state tax. Every exactly. time. Yeah. Every time. All right.
Think about this. You go to LA and you make a dollar, you're gonna get 40 cents.
Yeah, no, I don't like that. No,
but you
want
to come to Houston and get that dollar and get 60 cents. You know, it's a bit different.
I gotcha. I get it completely. 450 at our Gmail wants to know. What could end up being one of the most epic debates in the history of this show? Ready? Waffles or pancakes?
For me, it depends on who waffles.
Okay.
And who pancakes.
Oh, look, you're getting technical.
Yeah, well, but you know, well, you have to. In a debate like this, you have to. Yeah.
Let's say if we out and about all right, let's break it down. We out and about.
All right, there's an IHOP and there's a Waffle House.
Nope. See, I was going to say there's a Roscoe's. Okay. And then there's a damn it, what's the place?
See, that's the other thing. It's a regional thing as well.
Yeah, God dang it. What's the name of the place? You walk in, it's all country and
go Cracker Barrel. Barrel.
Cracker Barrel.
Oh, we got those here too.
Oh, yeah. Well, Cracker Barrel.
That Cracker Barrel pancake is something special now. So
which one? I would say I love them both. Let me just say that as a disclaimer. But if I had to go with one, I would probably give a little bit more edge to the waffle.
Me too.
Okay.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. See, for me, it's sober pancakes. Drunk. Put me at a waffle house. Get me to a Waffle House.
Hey, I'm not going to lie, though. Those IHOP buckwheat pancakes, though.
Oh, dude.
Those are my favorite.
Just something about the fluffy IHOP pancake. It's just so damn good. But yeah,
it's all you can eat right now.
If we've been drinking all night, then get me to a Waffle House.
Now I will say, Cracker Barrel pancakes are fluffy and they are good. I don't go to Cracker Barrel often, but the times
they do
that
a
I
good
have,
job.
Yeah, they do a good job.
All right, here's the follow up debate: grits or hash browns?
Grits, man. Fuck that. I don't even like hash browns. This is bullshit.
No, I like hash browns too.
What?
I like
hash browns too.
Your southern roots have come into question, man. So much the last month.
Grits.
I'm upset.
Here's the reason. Because to me, hash browns always made me full, man. Like, it gave me the itis too bad. But see, grits, I'm like, I can sit on the couch, watch my cartoons. But if I ate some hash browns, them cartoons going to be watching me.
So you're mad. Wait. So you're mad at hash browns doing what they're supposed to do?
No, man. I don't. This grits to me. If you make some good grits, man, some good cheese grits, oh, my goodness. Yeah.
See, grits are too bland for me.
No, see you.
And I know everybody go, oh no, you gotta add it. Look, I don't want to do work. I just want to eat. Yeah. We just freaking eat.
So this is so funny. You know, out of all the cities we used to go to, I used to love when we come to Atlanta because that was the only city I knew I could get some grits in for breakfast. I'm like, oh, we're going to Atlanta. I get some grits.
Oh yeah. Oh, shrimp and
most
grits.
Most guys are like, I want some hot wings, but I'm like, I want some grits.
I'll say grits, but I do love, like, because the most times I get hash browns, it's never really like the hash browns from, like, Waffle House. It's more like fast food hash browns. Like, I'll go to Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
Or, you know, McDonald's or something like that where they get those hash browns. But I rarely eat the ones that they bring you, like, on the plate.
No, those are the best. Those are the good ones. The ones they bring on the plate that are all, like, brown and stuck together and you got to break them apart.
Right.
See, I hear all the hash browns come in burritos and breakfast burritos.
Yeah, I can believe that.
Yeah. If I'm sober, it's great. No, I'm kidding. If I'm drunk, it's hash browns. No, it's for me, it's always hash browns. But all
right, it's always grits.
If you ever have a question for the show, BigShotBobPod@gmail.com, BigShotBobPod on Instagram and on Twitter. So there you go, man.
See, and you already asked the next question.
What's that?
Boxes of briefs.
Oh, all right. Well, you can bring that one up.
Oh, briefs.
No, I'm saying right. You said boxes earlier.
So. Boxes. Well, here. So I've in my old age transitioned to a boxer brief. I like the. I don't know how to explain this. Boxers are, as I've gotten older, like it feels like I'm not wearing anything, and I don't like that sensation. But I'm not going to do the John Cena Peacemaker tighty whities either. So the boxer brief is kind of a good compromise for me.
You like your boys to be held in place.
I like someone to hug my balls. Just hug them. Just kind of hold them nice. And make sure they're well taken care of. They don't need to be out there in the world just smacking around on stuff.
Just going from thigh to thigh.
Yeah, no, thank you. I'm good. Go jogging in a pair of boxers. Just like, oh, God. No,
nah,
thank you.
Give me my.
Hey, but you know what the worst thing is, though, speaking of that, is when you plan and your tights rip and you just hanging out during a game. Oh. And you like kaplaka, kaplaka, kaplaka. I'm like, that is the worst fit.
I didn't think about that.
Time out. I was like, Coach, son, I filed somewhere. I gotta come out. I gotta come out, man. They're like, what's wrong? I gotta come out, man. I ran to the back. Oh. I said, oh shit, man, that is the worst feeling, trying to run and your stuff is just
flying. No, thank you. No, thank you. And then you got back to the locker room and fill three of Viagra. I was like, here you go, man. Get back in the game, buddy.
Get that blood flowing. Bro,
blood that is a wild statement for him to make on TV. On live TV. That is wild, bro.
That was my favorite, man. I love that. That was great.
I'm certain somebody on ESPN said something to him like in the break.
Yeah.
Because there's no way, the way everybody looked at him and the way he was looking, I said somebody had to say something.
His thing is, what did he say that was so bad, though?
Oh, nothing. It was just the fact that he had this take, and God bless him, he was so grounded and honest with it, and he thought he was being sincere, and everybody else was losing their shit.
Yeah.
He couldn't figure out why. It just made gravy.
And the crazy part about it is, I have this, like, weird feeling, it's ESPN, which is ABC, which is then Disney, that you know how that works. We're a children's and a family-friendly network, even though there's a lot of things that's gone down over the ESPN that ain't family-friendly.
I would say, I love how when you reprimand somebody, you go to white guy voice. That's just family networking.
Follow the show on Twitter at Big Shot Bob Pod for links to all our guests and all sorts of fun. The Big Shot Bob Pod is a presentation of Live by Live's Podcast One and Podcast One Sportsnet.